Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Acast recommends podcasts we love.
Pod Diva. The dawn of a new diva.
Pod Diva.
Queers for your ears.
I'm Jet Monroe and I'm thrilled to be on the very first episode of Pod Diva.
Every week.
The fabulous Victoria Scone.
Why be a snack when you could be the whole damn picnic?
You literally bring out the naughtiest side of me.
Come out with Diva.
I'm Rachel Shelley and this is Pod Diva, the world's leading brand for LGBTQI women and non-binary people.
You're part of the family.
Listen now on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pod Diva.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts, including the Adam Buxton podcast, Growing Up with Galdem, and the one you're listening to right now.
Are you feeling a bit animated? Well, come on over to the Wicked Anime Podcast on the Nerdy Show Network, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to animation, Japanese culture, and all things anime. With a true industry perspective, we're always diving deeper than school uniforms and tentacle monsters. Join us on the Wicked Anime Podcast, nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. It's Wicked A!
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeVere here, and we are back again with another microsode. Can y'all fucking believe it is November already? I mean, like, for real. This year has flown by, but it is the month of thanks, and we are thankful for so much pop culture that we can barely contain it into the episodes that we're recording. And honestly, things come out at such a rapid pace right now that when we record, it's kind of crazy that we, like, as soon as we're done, something new comes up and it's like, damn, we should have talked about that. But there is something that we have talked a little bit about. And I am being joined by two of my fellow castmates to dive into it deeper and deeper. We're going to go spelunking, unking, unking, unking. Just trying to get Eric to break. I know podcasting is a visual medium and you can't see him giving me nooch right now, but I was trying to get him to break. I am being joined by BJ.
Hello.
And Eric.
Hello.
To discuss Marvel's What If, the animated series for Disney Plus that we have just touched on. BJ, you might have been out that episode when I think it was my topic for the month.
I think it was like one of the ones I was definitely not there for, because I remember whenever we select topics, the first thing Pat, I usually already have mine locked and loaded and I immediately drop what I want to talk about, and 9 times out of 10 Pat's always just like, well, that's what I was going to talk about, but I guess he just is going to take it. And
well,
and this,
like,
was the one
producer
time I was,
yeah, like a good producer, I try to let y'all have first dibs on things, unless it is something where, like, it's a month where I am really behind on, like, any new pop culture, and if I see something like Mortal Kombat, like, that month, I was like, you know what, we need to record, and I'm taking this is my topic, you pick something else, BJ, because I know you're gonna pick it, I'm taking it. So yes, most of the time, I will defer to you all, And if there is something that you want to talk about, I will let you guys do it. And then I will just come in afterwards and say, hey, I'll do this instead. So yes, that was one of those months, I think. And you ended up not being part of the show that month. So it was fine. It worked out. But now we get all new fresh takes from BJ on the series. Season one has concluded. And we are primed and poised and ready for a season two to come out. But what we are going to do here, we are going to do this in a couple of different rounds. We're going to do three rounds of chatter. First, we'll talk about some of the highlights of season one from our perspective. Then we will bat it back around for the things that maybe we didn't like so much. Maybe we could have seen some improvement. Maybe we would have liked to have seen it done a little bit differently. And then we'll close it out with a little chatter about what we would like to see from season two. So buckle up, motherfuckers. Let's talk. What if? I don't have the deep sultry voice of the Watcher to be able to do that. So
I was gonna say you don't have the voice of Jeffrey Wright to his dulcet tones.
His dulcet tones are phenomenal, and no, I do not have them. I have a deep register and a lovely speaking voice when I really emphasize my speaking, but I don't have the same dulcet tones that he does. All right, so real quick, What If is an American animated anthology series. Created by AC Bradley for the streaming service Disney Plus. It's based on the Marvel comic series of the same name, and it is also the fourth television series in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or Marvel Television Universe, as some people like to refer to it as, produced by Marvel Studios and the studio's first animated series. The series explores animated alternate timelines in the multiverse that show what would happen if major moments from the MCU films occurred differently. Bradley serves as the head writer, with Brian Andrews directing. Jeffrey Wright, as BJ mentioned, stars as the Watcher, who narrates the series alongside many MCU film actors reprising their roles. Marvel Studios was developing the series for Disney Plus by the end of 2018, with Bradley and Andrews on board. It was officially announced in April 2019, and then premiered on August 11th, 2021. Ran for 9 episodes until October 6th, part of Phase 4 of the MCU. And they are expecting a second 9-episode season to premiere early 2022, early to mid-2022, I would assume. And one other thing that I will throw out there is it is a 9-episode series. However, there was a 10th episode that I guess was supposed to be part of this first season, but they pushed it back. So we saw remnants of it in the finale of the season, which makes it kind of weird that it was pushed back. But there is chatter, and I'll just put this here, and then we'll get into our first round, that there might be some spoilers for upcoming properties, because when this would have dropped, things should have already been released that have not been released due to the panorama. So with that being said, the Pandemi Lovato.
Pandemi Lovato. The Padma Lakshmi.
The Pandi Lakshmi. Pandme Lakshmi. That's it. Gotta make sure you... Yeah. I love it. I love the fact that like the different ways that people have come up with to not say the actual word, so as not to have to relive the trauma we're currently still living through.
Right?
All right. I am going to throw this over to BJ for the first bit of our conversation here. Since you are coming into this, you have not given any type of reaction to What If. I would like to hear from you. What's that?
I got a fresh pair of legs.
Got a fresh pair of legs. Get those sea legs underneath you. And tell us a little bit about what you enjoyed about What If.
So in order to talk about that, what's funny is I'm dating myself pretty hard here right now. So when I was a kid and I'd go to the bookstores or go to the mall when people went to the mall or Books a Million. I'd be one of those.
Let's go to the mall. Let's go to the mall.
I'd be one of those brats standing at the comic section, just reading the comics in the store. And the one I would always make a straight beeline for was the What If series. Because I know it's popped up a couple times. Like, I know they stopped it for a while and then it came back. And it was always one of my favorite books just to kind of flip through, because they were just self-contained stories. But I was super excited about this show. One of the things I absolutely love about the show is, how they kind of treated Black Widow. Black Widow for me, I liked Black Widow in the MCU, but I didn't love her nearly as much as any of the other characters, because female characters tend to fall into one of two categories, and that is like the sex symbol or like the matron. And like, it was one of those things where I felt like they could do so much more with her, because she, like, Scarlett Johansson has the acting chops. You can write great stuff for her. And she just, even in her own movie, she kind of was there to kind of take care of everybody else and not really, I loved her movie, but she was just kind of there to take care of everybody else. All of the What If episodes that featured her prominently were perfect. Black Widow in What If is the Black Widow I wish we had had. Like all of her jokey moments, like, mirrored a lot of the male characters in the MCU. I especially love it when she's sitting in the back of the van with all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And she's just like, so, no one's going to say anything? No one's going to do anything? Okay. She's like, hold this for me. And she hands one of the guys her handcuffs. Those episodes were just a breath of fresh air. Because the thing about What If that all encompasses what I liked about it is the fact that it can take these chances to get things right that the movie kind of was meh on. Also, I am not the biggest Iron Man fan in the comics or the movies. I understand. I can't even remember the actor's name. He did such a good job. What is wrong with
Robert Downey Jr.?
Thank you. I love Robert Downey Jr. in the role. Like, that was perfect.
I was like,
casting.
Wait, real life or the voice actor for the series? Because you know he was way too expensive for them get him as an animated character.
Yeah, but I was gonna say the voice actor for the voice actress for Black Widow and the voice actor for Tony Stark was perfect. Although I thought it was hilarious because the animation style for Tony looked a lot like what's his name from Schitt's Creek, David. There were moments where he would just kind of make this like gasp face, and I'm like, David, what are you doing here?
David.
But there were just these moments where I like, honestly, the series this season should be subtitled "How Many Ways Can We Murder Tony Stark?" Because they do, at least they do understand that, because Tony Stark in the comic is a fucking asshole. Like, I would barely call him a hero in the comic. I would definitely call him a hero in the MCU, more so in the comic. But I've never seen a futurist written in a way that's not a fucking asshole. Like, but they definitely made Tony Stark more heroic in the MCU. But the crowning achievement of this season of What If will always be the Watcher putting together his own multiversal Avengers group, and him talking to like a version of Gamora that actually killed Thanos and brought peace to the universe. And Tony's just like, I'm not going anywhere with you. And he's like, not you, Stark.
And we don't 100% know if she brought peace to the universe, because we haven't seen that episode yet, but she looked pretty kick-ass in his armor.
Right. I was going to say, and I love how we got to see just how terrible Eric Killmonger can get. When the chains are off, like, yeah, Eric Killmonger getting everything he wanted was great. And also, I love the fact that it was our last time experiencing Chadwick Boseman acting. It was the What If T'Challa Became Star-Lord episode and the multiversal Avengers team episode. So yeah, those are probably my top highlights. I love the animation style. I could literally watch Peggy Carter beat the shit out of Hydra agents for a full 30 minutes. She didn't even have to talk. They could just animate that over and over again. And I would be on cloud nine. I would be like, this is what I want. And yeah, just, it was great. I'm super excited to kind of see, cause this was mainly, the first, this had all the stuff from the Infinity Saga. And I think that was only the zombie episodes that went all the way to like did the Infinity part of the Infinity Saga. So I'm very interested to see now that we've got Shang-Chi done, the second Black Widow movie done. We've got more material for them to kind of explore in season two. So, but no, yeah, definitely Black Widow, Tony Stark dying, and Peggy Carter beating the ever-living hell out of Hydra agents, and the voice acting. The voice acting was... There was just enough of the original cast, background, and foreground for me to not even really notice when they subbed out a voice. So, also, shout-out to Seth Green for voicing Howard the Duck. But those are all my highlights.
Love it, love it. Eric, what about you, sir? What did you enjoy in the What If season one?
A lot of the same things that BJ did. I really like the art style, the voice cast on a whole. Even the replacements I thought really did a good job. And it wasn't distracting. They did a good enough job that it wasn't distracting that, oh, you weren't thinking, oh, well, that's not Robert Downey Jr. Or, oh, that's... not the other actor or actress. I liked that they had enough kind of lighthearted episodes to balance out the whole direction they were going to go towards the end with Ultron basically wiping out everything. Because those first couple episodes, they were a lot of fun. With Peggy Carter and T'Challa. And then you got Thor doing his best Tom Cruise in Risky Business there towards the end of it. Having to clean up Earth before Mom got home. So yeah, those were kind of my highlights. I thought it was good. As a whole, I loved the idea of the multiverse and them being able to take these short stories and just tell a wider range of things in a much shorter period of time than us having to wait for these huge tentpole movies.
Nice. Keeping it short and sweet, Eric. That's what we mm-hmm. love about you. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to go last in these rounds of discussion because y'all pointed out lots of great things. It's funny because TV Sins, the offshoot of Cinema Sins doing the movies, did the What If Stephen Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? And they kind of picked it apart. And, you know, a lot of it's just, you know, fun nitpicky shit. But I really liked that episode. I loved the Peggy Carter episode. The T'Challa one was cool, but it, you know, I've never been a huge fan of the Ravagers, and you know, it didn't connect with me the same way. Although, of course, having lost Chadwick Boseman, it's very touching because we can pick apart certain lines and it just makes it even more profound. Knowing what he was going through while filming all of his movies and doing the readings for these episodes. But when it got down to the Stephen Strange episode, I've never been a huge, huge, huge Doctor Strange fan. It's never been one of the series that I've read a ton. But that episode, just, I loved it so much. And I've enjoyed Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange in his run so far in the MCU. So to watch that episode and kind of do that whole Groundhog's Day effect of like him just constantly trying to make this work. Eventually it's driving him mad, and then the whole weird like splitting him into two was awkward, but it was definitely something that really got me intrigued, because like BJ, I love the What If issues of the comics. I love the like, what if Phoenix hadn't died? What if Storm had the power of Thor? Like, these are some like classic big moments in the What If comics, because you got to see these stories with these characters that wouldn't normally happen. You know that this is not going to be what the stories were or what will be future plot lines usually for these characters, but it gave you that little bit of a taste of just what could be. I like the fact that they are toying with offshoots of what we've seen in the MCU, and spoiler alert, this will kind of, I may repeat this in the kind of what I wish was a little different. I would love to see things that go outside of that. And with us getting new properties and getting new TV shows, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, like all of these characters are coming soon. Kate Bishop's Hawkeye, like all of these characters will be fodder for future seasons. But I wish we could see just random things that they have access to that we just haven't seen before in the MCU. But with that being said, I've enjoyed it a lot. Everything you guys have touched on, I concur and I second. The voice acting was great, regardless if it was the original actor from the films or replacement actors for the animated show. They've done a great job in putting together a show that was fun to watch. Along with WandaVision, this was the other show that I was looking forward to the most because of my history with the comics and What If. So I'm happy to see that really kind of blossom and take hold in season one.
Well, and that's what I mean. Like, that's one of those things where, like, the sky's the limit, but they can also, the more they do, the more fuel for this fire they have. And also, a little thing, I'm a sucker for Easter egg videos. A quick thing, when the Watcher is getting the shit beaten out of him by Ultron, and literally being punched with other universes, they fly in through this ravine, and there's like lava and everything, and there's a castle in the background. That is Darth Vader's castle. So they actually fly through a Star Wars universe. So I thought that was like a really cute Easter egg. And also one thing that I also forgot to mention, Ultron. In the comics, Ultron is a fucking problem. In the MCU, Ultron was, or Spaderbot was kind of a problem. But no, Ultron in the comics is like, if you take the Borg and ramp it up to 1,000, like, you see anything resembling Ultron, you burn it. You burn it, you kill it, or you run.
More recently, the Pymtron that yes. came back with Hank Pym Ultron hybrid that caused a shit ton of havoc.
Yep.
Within the last couple of years. I want to say it was like a year or two ago, but I know at this point it's probably like 4 years ago. Time was that, is a bad construct in my head.
No, that's fine. Because I know there was one where I think it was Jocasta and Ultron took over the Iron Man armor and literally forced the armor to morph into a female body with Tony Stark in it. So it was like this weird cyborg, like, amalgam thing that looked like a busty Janet Pym, or Janet Van Dyne. And it was pretty terrifying. And then, like, I think that one involved, like, a lot of time travel. And it was pretty much, like, Endgame in the comics. But yeah, no, every time Ultron shows up in the comics, he is a massive fucking problem. And I love the fact that they actually pushed that fact home in this. That made me so happy.
Yeah, MCU Ultron was super easy, barely an inconvenience. Had to give a shout out to, you know, the pitch meeting series. So, yeah. So, those are some of the highlights from our watch through season one. Dear listeners, we hope that you are enjoying this and all the other content that we put out for you on this network. If you haven't done so, go check out our website, flameonshow.com, where we have all of our links to where you can catch us on social media, where you can find us on YouTube and our Twitch channels, along with the Rainbow Spotlight series up there on our website. There is a video playlist, so you don't even have to go off the site. You can just watch all of the good stuff there. And then there's also links for our Threadless shop, as well as our Patreon site as well. So if you would like, you can support us by buying our merch or joining our Patreon at any one of the four levels that are available, and help keep us making the great content that you love to hear. So go check out flameonshow.com and patreon.com/flameonshow.
Every company claims to have a single shared vision, but if you're not all working from the same data across functions and departments, you can't really work together. And that can cost you valuable time and resources. With intelligent ERP from SAP, your entire business has complete visibility to work as one. From sales to HR, from finance to procurement. So you can all share one vision, one plan, and one purpose. Because together works. Learn more at sap.com/UK/ERP together.
Acast recommends podcasts we love.
Pod Diva.
The dawn of a new diva.
Pod Diva.
Quiz for your ears.
I'm Jet Monroe, and I'm thrilled to be on the very first episode of Pod Diva.
Every week.
The fabulous Victoria Scone.
Why be a snack when you could be the whole damn picnic?
You literally bring out the naughtiest side of me.
Come out with Diva.
I'm Rachel Shelley, and this is Pod Diva, the world's leading brand for LGBTQI women and non-binary people.
You're part of the family.
Listen now on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pod Diva.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts, including the Adam Buxton podcast, Growing Up with Galdem, and the one you're listening to right now.
Show. All right, let's swing it back around the other way and let's chat about the things that maybe didn't tickle our fancy. Maybe we wish they were a little different. Maybe things that we just plain out did not like. This is the negatives of What If Season 1. And Eric, I'm going to throw it to you first. What didn't you like about this season?
I didn't need there to be a fully overarching story that tied up neatly in a bow. I was perfectly fine with it starting off as kind of a complete anthology series. And I thought that was a really neat idea. Because it all wrapped up so quickly then at the end. Especially by... and if there was an episode that kind of explained Gamora more, and they didn't air it, that's one thing. But kind of... her being there in that last group was kind of like, well, it makes sense that there's a multiverse of characters to pull from, but we kind of got to learn a little bit about everybody else, and then there she was. So I think that was a little bit strange. And then I didn't care for the way Killmonger was portrayed in the series, because in the movie, he's a great villain and is very sympathetic, even though he's an asshole. Whereas in his episode, it took all the sympathy away from his character. He was just an ass. And there was nothing he wasn't going to do.
Which was weird. For the fact that he was going to be end up being part of the Guardians of the Multiverse. So yeah, I 100% agree with you there. Yeah. Like, it's weird to have that be the person that joins the group.
Which in the end, I kind of understood because Watcher almost needed to sacrifice someone and knew that his lust for power was in the end going to work out for what they needed.
It rivaled Ultron's, like,
yeah,
like Killmonger's need for power or what he perceived he needed to get what he wanted or to do what he thought was right was just on the same level as Ultron's need to destroy everything. So in the end, it was almost like using them to cancel each other out.
Yeah. But I thought I didn't have too many other issues with it, with the series. I just wish they had kind of just left it as an anthology series. And maybe in the second season, they could have continued each individual story or just gone off in completely new directions. But I didn't need it to completely all interchange with each other, a la the MCU Infinity War Endgame thing. So that was kind of my biggest gripe with it. Not that they did it in a bad way, it just wasn't what I wanted.
So, yeah. And we all know what Eric wants, Eric gets. Just call her Lola. No, I totally get you there, Eric. BJ, what were some issues that you took umbrage with in season one?
I was a little sad. Yeah, Eric's right. I feel like they should have saved the whole like Guardians of the Multiverse thing. That was something they could have easily saved for like a season two or season three. Then that would, like, especially if they even kept the team the same, they could easily had just like done like a throwback episode where he's collecting them all. And then the thing is, since it's on a streaming service and if you don't remember that episode, you can easily go back and rewatch it, because I feel like that way we would have definitely gotten the Gamora episode. So I feel like it's a weird way of playing it safe, because we all know nerds don't like change. So that's why a series like this works so well. And you didn't need to have like a group episode with the Watcher actually interfering with everything, because now it's a question of where do you go from here? The Watcher's already interfered, so clearly he has no problem doing it again if there's an issue. So I just feel like the writers are kind of making it harder on themselves by playing it as safe as possible. I feel like it would have been nice if the I was gonna say, Pat, you can't wait for them to actually include other characters. I feel like, granted, the way the show was released was completely different from when it was supposed to release. But no, I feel like they just played it a little too safe. Because like you, one of my favorite episodes is the Doctor Strange episode, and it was great. They actually gave, I can't remember her name, Vanessa or
Christine.
Christine. Like, Christine was such a throwaway character in the movie. So it was great writing, and it was a gut punch, because in all honesty, not many of the What If comics ended well. You know, a lot of them ended like a Twilight Zone episode, and not a very, like, happy ending Twilight Zone episode. I am upset that they had a man spider episode set up for Peter Parker and they deemed it too scary. and I was like, you literally cut Sam Wilson's zombie in half. I'm like, come on, do a little creative rewriting. So I would have liked to have seen that. So yeah, definitely. They definitely didn't go as crazy as they could have gone. and they definitely it didn't feel like it wasn't pandering, but it felt like they were kind of afraid of their own fan base. Some episodes, it was weird. That's really all I've got. Everything was pretty much almost perfect for me. So, and this is me just nitpicking. Like, this is me actively looking for something and I didn't like. And when I say I didn't like it, I mean, listen, I'm still going to probably go back and rewatch the whole season a couple months before the next one comes out. So, like, yeah, take this as a grain of salt. The smallest bit of salt. It's not a hot take, it's a lukewarm take.
It's a tepid take.
But yeah, so other than that those were probably my only critiques. So I'm very excited to see what else they have in store, but just like, you know, you don't need to blow your wad all at once. You can save it. It's now No Nut November. Like,
you know? I wonder how many of our listeners out there made it past like the first 12 hours of that. So
we'll I say continuous Nut November. I say
edging your way to Thanksgiving.
I had seen something online. Was it Nonstop Nut November?
That's
what I saw, and I was like, okay, yep, there we go. I very much like Eric was upset's probably the wrong word. I was not a huge fan of the fact that they decided to make this, take it from an anthology series and pull an American Horror Story in the first season and make it something that was going to be an overarching plot, something that by the end of it, we were going to have it crossover. And we know that it's multiversal. We know that the Watcher is involved. But I would have liked to have seen it go longer without having to interconnect the stories. We've seen stories in the comics where the multiverse is, I don't want to say breached, broken. They managed to hop between dimensions. I mean, X-Men just did it a couple of years ago with, I'm telling you, time is a complete and utter construct because I'm pretty sure like House of X and Powers of 10, I feel like that's almost 3 years ago at this point. Like, it's been a minute.
I was going to say it's been a second.
Yeah, I think that might be 2018. So like right before that happened, they did Age of X-Men and they had David Haller whole like a good chunk or the majority of like the X characters into a whole other, basically the Age of Apocalypse world, but flipped where X-Men was like it was this whole thing.
Yeah.
But they do these things. These are things that happen and we know it. Like we know that it's going to be a thing. We didn't need it to have this existential or this massive threat that they were going to wrap up in a 30 some odd minute episode because it didn't feel like there were stakes. It wasn't something that they built up over these 9 episodes. They just kind of had it happen in one and like a tenth of an episode. You know, like it just didn't have that same oomph and punch that 23 films in the MCU have done to build up and get to that point to make it. Even though we honestly know that a lot of these characters are going to make it through, how many people died in Infinity War and Endgame that stayed dead past, you know, 5+ years with the time jump and everything? We lost a whole, 2 people, maybe 3 people? The Black Widow for sure. Yeah. Okay. Tony and Black Widow. So definitely 2. Maybe a couple more. Wait, Maria. I was like, Monica's the one that's still in the MCU. We lost Maria Rambeau. We know that. We know that she died during the course of all of that. But
yeah,
I wanted there to be a little bit more when it comes down to like how this was going to play out. I would have liked it to have gone another season before, you know, maybe have a crossover here and there and build up to what the big issue could be, or what the big villain, the big bad would be for this this series. So that's definitely a nitpick. It's not something that made or broke the season for me or this show for me, but I would have liked to have seen it drawn out a little bit more before we got to that big stakes battle that ultimately didn't really have huge stakes. So that's kind of my biggest thing there. I will slightly disagree with you, Eric, on how they portrayed Killmonger. I loved him in Black Panther. I thought it was ruthless, and I liked seeing a completely cold version of Killmonger where it really just lived up to the name. I will say, and I know in the comics it was this way, it felt like every episode gave you a bit of blue balls because they would always get to like, this thing is going to happen, or Pepper and Shuri coming together to then turn around and be like, let's take this motherfucker down. And then like that be the end of it. But then to like the only time you get to see anything from that or further than that is when the Watcher's pulling them all out of like their respective times. And you see them kind of like running down the, like running to break into the room and take Killmonger. So it was a little sad to not be able to kind of see all that because it started getting really interesting right at that point. And then it's like, and we're done. So I know that the What If comics were kind of the same thing because you had one issue. You only have 30 pages or whatever, you know, the comics were running at that point to tell that story and be done with it. So while I'm not mad about it, it made me a little sad that we didn't get to see more and have that kind of play out. Where if they did what Eric was mentioning, where you have that drawing out and maybe revisiting in season two, you get to see a little bit more of that story unfold, and then you can kind of pull them out of their timeline and do this whole big Guardians of the Multiverse storyline. But that honestly was probably my biggest gripe with the season. Overall, I did enjoy it. I looked forward to Wednesdays when I would get to watch a little bit more What If. So overall, good job to Marvel there. All right, dear listeners, before we get into our last segment, we want to just remind you to go check out our website at flameonshow.com. Go check out our Patreon site over at patreon.com/flameonshow. And yeah, thank you so much for all of your support. We love to see it. It's what we do. We enjoy the fact that we get to put these shows out for you. All right, boys, last but not least, let's talk about the things that we would like to see in season two, that if they don't happen, we are going to get mad, we are going to rage online and knock over tables and, you know, all the stuff that people do when their speculations and fan theories are not right. So let's throw it back to BJ. What would you like to see in season two of What If?
I would like to see one or two episodes of side characters becoming the heroes. Because it worked so well with Peggy. I would definitely love to see Rescue. Maybe a Rescue-centric episode. What if Pepper Potts became Iron Woman instead of Tony Stark? I would like to see a what if MJ became Spider-Woman, because then you could have like kind of a Spider-Gwen reference in there would be nice, where you could change your costume up.
Jessica Drew's drag.
Right. I would love to see what if Steve Rogers was a Hydra agent, and we could get like a little reference to the Hidden Empire comic.
Empire. That's the one that
Secret Empire.
That was a little bit of what I was talking about with the Ultron Pym. Like around that time was when they brought that hybrid back, and it was crazy. Craziness.
Yeah. I would love to see like one of the there's a million timelines where they lost. What if Doctor Strange did the wrong timeline? But I would definitely love to see them give more of the side characters a little bit more time to shine. And I would definitely, I'm actually really hoping they don't do like an overarching story every season. I would be completely happy if the next season there was no giant, mega issue combining them all. I'd be completely fine if it's something they built over a couple of seasons. I definitely want more. I definitely want more Ant-Man, because whoever was writing for Scott Lang in this season was knocking it out of the park. The whole thing with him making all of the weight jokes when he was in the jar, and then the Wingardium Leviosa, like, that was that episode had no business being that bleak and that hilarious at the same time. Definitely those are probably my top things. You know, more Scott Lang, more Scott Lang, and more time for the sidekicks to shine.
You're just hoping for that What If Futurama crossover where the president's heads in the jars will all get to interact with Scott Lang's head in a jar.
I'm fine with that.
I love it. I love it. Eric,
Will say BJ.
More from BJ. I told y'all he had thoughts and opinions, and we love it.
So we're in Orlando, for those of you that don't know. I know Pat's in Chicago,
well, but you
me
are.
And Eric are in Orlando. And because of the weird licensing and stuff with Universal having a Marvel area and Disney not having a Marvel area, Disneyland has the Avengers Campus, which is open now. But over Halloween, I think it's called the Oogie Boogie Boo Bash, they had Agatha from WandaVision hijack Doctor Strange's magic show. So they had a meet and greet with Agatha, and people come in costume, and there was a pregnant woman who was dressed up as Wanda. And she was just like, oh, isn't that cute? A Wanda costume. Fonda costume. Fake Wanda. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. Her husband was dressed as Vision in like his 70s outfit. And she was just like, oh, so you wear a vest and glasses and call yourself Vision. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. And then they actually had a zombie Captain America running around the park. So that was really, really cool. So just if you are going to Anaheim over Halloween next year, definitely check out the Disney Plus show villain references and stuff they have over at the park there.
And what was his was it Vishon?
I would love to have seen her react to somebody dressed as Vishon. Yeah, I definitely would have loved to see how she reacted to like some of meme costumes.
That would have been fantastic. All right, Eric, what you got in store in your mindscape for What If Season 2?
I'd like more zombies, because the zombie episode was good, and I know that they've done like three separate runs of Marvel Zombies. At least, I think. So there's plenty of material there. I would like to see them introduce more characters outside of what's already been established in the MCU. Hell, do a what if the Netflix Marvel shows were canon.
What if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was canon?
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of characters to play around with. You could do a Deadpool what if, now that he's technically going to be in MCU. All kinds of fun stuff. But mostly just keep it more anthology than trying to tie everything up in a pretty bow and connected.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's basically what I want to see.
So for me, what I would like to see in season two, kind of on that same page as Eric, I would like to see more anthology. I would love to see characters like BJ said that are, I think BJ was the one that said it. Like you just said it. Y'all just said this a couple of minutes ago. Characters that are not part of the main MCU canon. That was Eric that said it. My apologies.
Yeah.
I got it right eventually.
I said sidekick.
Yes, you were sidekick. Listen, a Darcy episode would be fantastic.
Just following her adventures with her new husband, Howard the Duck.
Yes. Yes.
That would definitely be something to watch. But yeah, I want to see those characters because, like I said, like the Phoenix, what if the Storm is Thor? Like, those are such integral parts of my childhood, and I would love to see what they would do with them in 2021, 22. I know that a lot of the Fox characters are not on the table for season one, maybe even season two, just because of how long it takes to write and record and animate these things. So that deal was being put together and came about around the time that all this was being done. So obviously they don't have those plans in place to bring them there, but I would love to see more of that. I would love to see those characters that are going to be coming in play more of a role in these types of shows. So that really is kind of like the biggest thing that I would love to see. I want to see more anthology. I want to see those characters that we haven't really gotten to dive into more. And yeah, I'll pull from BJ's where they don't do a big bad for this next season. I don't think that will be the case. I think we'll be a little sad that they will put it to a big bad and have another overarching storyline. But you know what? They've been putting out some quality programming, so I can't be too mad about it. All right, dear listeners, we thank you so much for joining us through this magical What If journey. And we thank you again for being our supporters and listening to us ramble on every other week as we talk about pop culture and the things that we enjoy and sometimes don't enjoy, but still we'll talk about for you all. With that being said, we thank you. Thank you, BJ. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, listeners. And we'll be back in two more weeks with another pop culture roundup for your ears. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Hi, it's Talkart's Robert Diamant.
And Talkart's Russell Tovey. And we're here today because we've partnered with Lionsgate and the most incredible movie, Mothering Sunday. Tell us about Mothering Sunday, Rob.
Well, it's a timeless story of forbidden love, pleasure, life, and loss.
Oh, we love that. You love forbidden love, pleasure, life, and loss, don't you?
Big time.
Big time. And the film stars Odessa Young, Josh O'Connor, alumni from Talkart. We love you, Josh. Glenda Jackson, Olivia Colman, Colin Firth. Mothering Sunday is only in cinemas from November 12th. Book tickets now at motheringsundayfilm.co.uk. Mothering Sunday and Talkart.
How can we harness our collective energy? What if our technology serves us today and tomorrow? Let's champion the energy transformation. Discover how at SiemensEnergy.com.